Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a strange year, hasn't it? People have been searching for comfort in all sorts of places, whether that's in family, in medicine, or in simply having more stuff. Where are Christians meant to find comfort? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be playing some sermons I've been giving from the book of Isaiah. This book is foundational to the New Testament, and the New Testament authors seem to say that their message is in line with it. So we're going to see what it says, and we'll see where God calls us to find comfort too. Isaiah chapter 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. One of my earliest memories was being invited to Michael Askew's birthday party. My parents remember this clearly. I mean, birthday parties at primary schools, they're serious things, aren't they? I mean, teachers probably know this. It's the invite is given and then can be withdrawn at any moment. The politics of the playground, they revolve around whose birthday party is about to come up, who's friends with who, who's in, who's out, who's getting picked first for the football team and who's last. I'm so glad that we've moved beyond that now, I think. Well, we're finishing up this section of Isaiah this evening, and there is an invite. There is an invite in this passage. There is a call. And this invite is far more serious than a birthday party. This is a call that will decide who is in and who is out for eternity. And it all depends on the response to the servant's work. Do you remember chapter 53? The servant there, the one who brought about all of God's promises, Isaiah 54. Well, now this call, this invitation can go out to the ends of the earth. And as it goes out, it's going to expect a response. So this passage is asking, how should we respond then to the servant's work? That is the topic of this chapter, chapter 55 of Isaiah. How should we respond? What does God expect from us in light of the servant's crosswork? Well, there are two things to see this evening. And as we see them, it might be quite easy to think, oh yeah, I've heard that before. So I'm going to call that out now so that when we come to these things, we will hear them afresh. And we can respond to them again this evening. Because this news here, this invitation is for every one of us in this room. And this news here is actually news for the world out there as well. If we really understand this news, this invitation for ourselves, we can pass this invitation on to the world out there. In fact, only If we understand this for ourselves, can we pass it on? And so the first thing to see, the first pass at the servant's work this evening, is calling us to come and listen. Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 5. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you'll summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he's endowed you with splendor. See, Isaiah clears his throat and he shouts, come! I mean, if you've been on Hemel High Street on a Thursday morning, you know the sound, don't you? Get your roses! Two bowls for a fiver! I mean, as the market's traders, they're selling their wares, aren't they? I mean, the butcher with the microphone, he wins with that big speaker as he booms across the area. £20 barbecue bundle. But what is Isaiah calling the people here to do? Well, first of all, he's calling the thirsty. Do you see that verse 1? He's got water. See, God's people, they've been thirsting in exile. Back in Isaiah chapter 5, we were told this. Therefore, my people will go into exile for the lack of understanding. Those of high rank will die of hunger, and the common people will be parched with thirst. Why is that? Why are they thirsty? It's good, you only have to go up one verse. They have harps and lyres at their banquets, pipes and tambourines and wine, but they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord. They have no respect for the work of his hands. But now, the call is to come to the waters, to realise what God has done, as God has made himself known through the servant, what his hand has accomplished. So Isaiah cries again, verse 1, come, those who have no money, come, buy, eat. You see, this market is for the thirsty and the penniless, those who have nothing and know that they have nothing. See, there's no excuse for not coming forwards. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. I mean, wine and milk, that's a progress, isn't it, from water? This is a feast. Yet it's not that this stuff doesn't cost anything. Did you see that? It says come and buy. It's just saying that it's not going to cost them because it's been paid for already. So what is Isaiah talking about? What is this about? Well, we get a bit clearer in verse 2. The people are to stop spending money on things that don't work, to stop getting the knockoffs that just don't do the job, idols, false gods, and instead to come and get what satisfies. And God is emphatic on what he means here. We get that word listen twice. When you get two words together, it really intensifies it. Listen, really listen to me, God says. Eat what is good and you will delight in the richest of fare. That you there in that verse literally means your soul. The very foundations of yourself. Come and listen to God. Listen to him and you will delight in your soul. No knockoff. Every desire, every need is perfectly met. Same picture in verse 3. Listen so that you may live. In fact, listen so that your soul may live. Have life. Have life to the full. So what does God want us to do in light of the servant's work? Well, he wants us to come and listen. I mean, the invitation is open. Come and listen, God says. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. That's a secure promise that's going to last forever. That is what this invite is to, a secure and everlasting sign, sealed, delivered relationship with God. What we are made for. And I'll show my faithful love promised to David. When Isaiah talks about David throughout his book, he's talking about the king that is coming. Do you remember the shoot that comes up from the stump of Jesse? We read that at Christmas, don't we? The king from David's line we saw in Isaiah 53, who is cut off, but then sees the light of life. Because he has died and risen again, the promises just come flooding straight through. So see him, this Davidic king, the one God has made a witness. See him, the one that God has made a ruler and commander of the people. See him, the one who causes nations beyond your knowledge to run. See great David's greater son, bringing the world to Zion. See what the God in your midst has done, the Holy One of Israel, the one who is devoted to his plan to save the world, because he has done it. And because he's done it, come. Come and listen to what this God has to say. Hear the invitation and come to the party. See, this gospel, it's good news, isn't it? It's an invitation. It is free and it is open to everyone. There is no barrier to coming to God through Jesus other than realizing your need. You don't need to be all sorted out to come to Jesus. You don't need to be a certain IQ level to come to God. You only need to feel your thirst. I mean, that's such a relief, isn't it? I mean, as the doormat there, you can't really see it, there's a doormat behind that picture. It says, come as you are. That's what the doormat says. That's what this passage is saying. Come as you are. You don't have to sort yourself out first. Come as you are. Come and listen, God says, because I can satisfy your souls. Stop looking elsewhere. Nothing else is going to do it. Come and listen. Well, the second part of the invite is to seek the Lord. This is the other side of the coin. Verses 6 to 13. It's quite nice when it's in the text nice and clearly. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower, and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire, and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and hills will burst forth into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Seek the Lord. Now let's make clear what this means. This isn't saying seek something that you've lost. Instead, when it says seek here, it's saying come with a commitment. Come with a commitment. Come to the one who you know now is there. Come purposefully. Realize that God is the best place to go, the best place you could go for all your desires. Call on him, depend on him, because he can satisfy. It's nuanced what I said earlier. The invite is to come as you are, yes, but it doesn't stop there. Don't expect to stay the same. Because verse 7, the wicked should forsake their ways. What are the wicked? Well, in Isaiah, the wicked are those who reject God's justice, those who don't live God's way, those who reject God's rule. So what you have to do is to stop chasing after your own power, your own status, and choose God's way instead. Come and be changed. Who else needs to change? Well, the unrighteous. You see them there in verse 7? In the unrighteous in Isaiah, those are people who follow idols. They're to change their minds. They're to stop thinking so small, to stop thinking that something you've created can save you. Instead, you are to turn to the Creator. Turn to the Lord. Stop going that way. Start going his way. Realize that God's way is right and return to God. Again, come as you are and be changed. See, those who had no hope, those who were completely outside of God's promises, can now come in. And the promise there is that God is going to have mercy. He will freely pardon. His arms are open wide. So run, seek him, come to him. But how can that be? Seems totally impossible, doesn't it? Well, aha, God says. Verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. You see, God doesn't think like us, and God doesn't act like us. In fact, God's ways are so much higher than ours, and his thoughts are so much higher than ours. How much higher? Well, it's as if you were to go from earth to heaven. That amount of distance. So if you were to return to God, then how can you return? If God's plans are so lofty, they're so high, how can you return to God? This is the amazing bit. So even though God's plans, they are so distant from us, they are so much higher than us, they can be known. How's that? Well, this should help. Isaiah says, imagine a storm that is going on. I was hoping we might have one tonight just for effect, but there's a digital one. Imagine the rain is coming down. It falls, doesn't it, from the heavens to the earth. It falls from where God is to where you are. Yes, those clouds, you can't reach them, can you? You can go up the highest mountain and try and reach them. But there is a connection to them. You see, the water from above comes down, doesn't it? And it causes the earth to bud and to flourish. Well, just like that, verse 11, God's word is available to us. Yes, it is high, it's in the heavens, it comes from above, it comes from God's mouth, but just like the rain, it comes down and reaches the earth, it reaches us. And so, like the rains water the earth, so God's word works as he intends. See, God accomplishes all that he intends through his word, through his words that we have here. And so we can seek God and we can call on him because God has said so. See, as God has spoken throughout the book of Isaiah, he has accomplished what he set out to achieve. And as people come in, as they come and listen, as they seek the Lord, as they call on him while he's near, he's doing what he's planned all along. And so we can trust him for that ultimate plan there in verses 12 and 13. I mean, we know the song. The original readers would have read this as Exodus. This is a picture of a new Exodus, going out with joy like Egypt, being led forth in peace. And where they're being led into? Well, into a new creation where the mountains and the hills and the trees, they all welcome you home. The groaning creation is now full of song, where there'll be no more thorns, but junipers. Be no more briars, but myrtle. See, the thorns and the thistles of the curse have been removed, and the luxurious trees of Eden have been restored. Do you see, God in the servant, in the Lord Jesus, has done everything that we need to deal with our greatest needs. And that is who God is. That final sentence of this section of Isaiah, the end of this section of Isaiah that gives God's people their comfort, this end of a section of Isaiah that is there to open people's eyes to who God is, that enables them to trust him. Final line, this will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. As God does everything that he has said, he's going to make a name for himself. He's going to be known forever, because then an everlasting sign is going to go up. This is your God, the creator, the redeemer who saves his people. So you can say, behold your God. This is your God. See, for the people reading this in Isaiah's day, the means by which God's going to offer comfort is pretty clear. The answer to how God is going to accomplish the work of turning the faithless city into the faithful city is known. And therefore, God's people have a sure and certain hope way into the future. There is nothing that's going to stand in God's way. There's nothing that's going to cause them to fear the nations any longer. There's no need to fear what tomorrow is going to bring. Instead, the invitation here, just come and seek the Lord who's made it all possible. And that is all the more true for us today, isn't it? As we have seen the servant historically do his work, the news for the whole world that we don't need to fear anything. I mean, you could say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Well, in fact, the Bible can end using these very words. The whole Bible ends with the same call as Isaiah 55. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Well, I hope you found some comfort there. Any feedback can be sent to me on podcast@david-couch.com, and I'll see you next time.